This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, can we finally beat cancer using gene therapy? An expert joins us live. The Pope is ditching a means of transportation we've come to expect him to use. And a little girl is kicked out of a KFC because of her face. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in the newsroom.
I am. Are soccer teams using drones to spy on each other at practice in the World Cup?
The weekend involved no alien abductions for him. It's Jay Campadonia.
Phil, a principal dishes out punishment to students. Now, the principal is being punished. More in minutes.
And nursing a sports injury, because we just get injured, but for him it's sports injury. Here's Chris Martin.
Another World Cup scandal that doesn't involve drones. This one actually involves nudity.
Ooh, all right. All of that's coming up and more. Let's get started. Jennifer, drones in the World Cup? How is that possible?
Why not, right? Anything you can do to get an edge, apparently. And France coach, Didier Deschamps. Didier Deschamps.
All right. I like
that. That is the French coach. Anytime I can break out my French accent.
She loves doing that.
I know. I can't speak French at all, but I like to break out the accent.
Yeah. All right. Fine. It's as close coach. To speaking French as we're ever going to get on this program. All right. Go ahead.
Exactly. So the coach there for the France team has said that FIFA is looking into claims one of his side's training sessions was disrupted by a drone flying overhead Tuesday, last week, at France's World Cup training camp. Now, France went on to win their opening match against Honduras in Porto Alegre on Sunday. But he says, apparently, drones are used more and more. He captained the side.
You captured the spirit of the moment in the press conference just spectacularly.
Yes. Well, he says that FIFA is yet to comment and that drones are more commonly used to spy on military targets. But why not? If you can see what their players are doing, and maybe if, ooh, is so-and-so limping, or ooh, is his ankle taped? You know, they maybe give him an edge. But they're looking into that, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, all right. I don't see it all that much different than the eye in the sky during a football game.
Right.
I mean, they have those guys with the headphones, and they call down to the coach and say, hey, here's what I see off of the other bench. So anyway, all right. So there's a side game going on at the World Cup. And I'm just wondering, is it shirts and skins?
Well, you would think, because it's prostitutes versus evangelicals. And
what?
I hope I'm not stealing Chris's thunder here. Is this, Chris, your story that you were talking about the nudity thing? Because, you know, this team is called nudity something or other, the prostitutes team.
No, that's a negative. You go.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't want to steal your story because it is kind of sports related and you're really good at this, especially when it, you know, involves nudity. But Brazilian prostitutes and a Christian evangelical group played a football match Saturday in the World Cup host city of Belo Horizonte, taking over a central street to raise awareness about sex.
Where did they play this
that
again?
That sounds like horizontal, Jay, doesn't it?
Horizonte. Horizonte. I want to visit that town.
Yeah. Belo Horizonte. Well, it's one of the host cities. And yeah, my Spanish accent's not as good as my French one.
Just do it in a French accent. It'll sound like Portuguese.
It will. But they got together just after Colombia played Greece in the southeastern city. The women set up an impromptu pitch using traffic cones for goalposts. They played the enthusiastic cheers of onlookers. The rights have to be the same for everyone. We're no different from anyone else just because we're sex workers, said player Patricia Bonges. We are finally breaking that prejudice and stigma. And the evangelicals went right along with it because really, what would Jesus do? Remember the whole Mary Magdalene thing? I mean, come on. You know, they say we're not getting judgy. We're going to play.
I remember. Jesus was pretty good as a scoring defenseman.
Exactly. He was great. So there you go. They played the game. There's no word actually on who won. I don't think anyone was really keeping score. It was just kind of a spectacle.
Yeah, everybody wins in this one.
I know, right? So the association, the Prostitutes Association, which organized the match, they also helped some of the city's 80,000 sex workers prepare for the World Cup, by the way, by offering free English classes at a local mall. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, because of all the customers who speak English.
That's
beautiful.
Fantastic.
All right,
better be able to have a few, you know, standard phrases ready.
We're going to have you wait for Chris's nudity story as it applies to the World Cup.
She's
That's coming
like
up in a little
too.
Bit. But Jennifer, you have one story that befuddles us. This comes out of a KFC. In what city?
This is in Jackson, Mississippi.
What happened?
Well, maybe you heard this story. It happened over the weekend. The grandmother of a 3-year-old girl who was viciously attacked by 3 dogs, some pit bulls, says she was asked to leave a KFC in Jackson, Mississippi by an employee who said the girl's scars were scaring the other customers. Isn't that sad?
That's awful.
So Kelly Mullen said she was driving her granddaughter home from the hospital when they stopped at KFC for mashed potatoes because that was pretty much all the poor little girl could eat because she'd been injured so radically. She had a patch over her eye. She's lost an eye. She has gouges all over her face. And the grandmother says that the little girl left in tears and is now embarrassed by the way she looks. And that wasn't the case before. So KFC says they're investigating. And to their credit, they responded on Facebook the very next day. And they said, regardless of the outcome of their investigation, they've apologized to Victoria's family and they're committed to assisting them. The company's also making a $30,000 donation to assist with her medical bills.
Oh, wow.
And the entire KFC family's behind Victoria. So that's a really nice thing.
Okay.
I think they handled it pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds like a good recovery. All right, Jen. Now, Jay, you have a story about a particular school principal. And you remember how to spell principal. It ends in P-A-L because the principal is your pal.
Principal is your pal,
but
yes.
In this case, maybe not.
Probably not. So it's the end of the school year, and a couple of seniors, they tend to get a little rebellious around this time of year. It's summertime. It's our last year. We're going to do what we want. We rule the school. Everybody's been there. Everybody remembers having that attitude. Well, about 10 kids in North Carolina went to school and they did not wear their uniform. They decided to just wear free dress or whatever they wanted to school. Principal was like, you and you and you come with me.
Uh-oh.
Took them outside and in the 80-degree temperature made them walk around the track for hours during school.
How many students?
Looks like a handful, like 10.
Just as an example.
Yeah, actually it says about a dozen kids here in the story. So it's like, you are coming with me. Let's go. So in the 80-degree temperature, would not let them get water, would not let them stop. They just had to continue to walk. And in North Carolina this time of year, it is very, very humid.
Right.
It's very, very ugly weather out there. It's just really sticky.
So it's like walking in that heat, but with a couple of buckets of sand on your shoulders.
Exactly.
Because that's what the humidity does.
Exactly. So now parents are outraged. They want the principal removed from the school.
As a matter of principle. P-L-E.
Yes. Evidently, the school district out there says the principal is not allowed to issue a physical punishment for a dress code violation or any violation. So now the principal may actually be in some hot water.
Wow. Look at that.
He's not the football coach.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, look, you screwed up. You decided to be a rebel. You got busted. Now here's a stern punishment. When did kids get so delicate?
Well, that's like almost like corporal punishment, though, at that point, when it's so hot out and humid.
Oh, 80 degrees. Come on.
80 degrees and 100% humidity.
Tell them
is.
To put down the iPads and the iPhones and the Nintendos and whatever else these youngsters are playing with these days.
All right, Grandpa.
Get out there. Boy, come on. Go do some yard work.
Let this be a lesson to you. We made sure that Jay worked in radio, not in education.
Yeah.
Just to keep your children safe. All right. Hey, up next, we made you wait. We're going to make you wait a little longer for Chris's story that involves a World Cup and nudity. That is next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Glad you tuned in to KFWB News Talk 980 here for this program, As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We're on every weekday afternoon at 2. Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin, and I'm Phil Hewlett. Busy show because the weekend had so many stories and so many things to talk about today, and we continue to be fascinated as a country and a world, for that matter, with perhaps the, the biggest sporting event on the planet, the World Cup. And, Chris, you have a story about the Croatian team. What are they doing? What are they up to? What kind of shenanigans are the Croatians getting into this time?
They're involved in a little bit of a scandal, the Croatian soccer team is. Jen, are you paying attention to this one?
Well, I am now that you're talking about it, but I don't have no idea what this story is.
Good.
As I sort of led you to believe in the last segment, I really don't know what this is.
Well, I'm glad. I'm looking forward to surprising you. After losing their opening match to Brazil 3-1, the Croatian soccer team decided to relax at their private hotel pool. Naked. So, of course, what happens? Their private pantsless pool party was pounced on by the paparazzi.
Whoa!
And the players are not pleased.
That was 5 P's.
Not bad there, rookie. Good job.
Yeah.
Jen, there's actually pictures of this. If you want to Google it, you would just Google something like Croatian soccer team nude or something like that. But
trust me, I'm halfway there. Hang on. Loading.
Stop. It'll take you to a Croatian rag mag. But they're furious. The players are furious, and now the coach is very upset. He came out and he informed the media that none of his players are going to be available to comment for the foreseeable future. He even quoted in saying, "I can't force them to be at your disposal after what you've done to them and their families. You blew it with this one. The whole world has seen these photos." So okay. Now these players have decided, forget it. We're just not going to talk to the media at all anymore.
Wow.
You know? Wow.
We're going to miss the Croatian soccer team. In our daily World Cup reports,
we are.
We might miss somebody else, a fan of World Cup. Jay, tell me about this story.
So the China Daily, Chinese man, wanted to watch all of the World Cup over the weekend. And unfortunately, the Brazil games are broadcast in China in the middle of the night. We're kind of nice. Like the USA plays today at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. But it's in the middle of the night. Well, anyways, this guy was found slumped in front of his television with the games going on, the Netherlands-Spain game. And evidently, he was rushed to the hospital, and doctors said that he died because he was watching all the games. He stayed up too late. Exhaustion may have led to a heart attack, and he died.
Wow. Well, that was an uplifting story.
Can you believe that, though? I mean, soccer fans are passionate.
Yes,
I've never heard of anybody dying in front of the Super Bowl.
And again, it's all over the world, which is great.
I am dying in front of my computer right now. These Croatians are,
wow.
They're in nice shape.
Well, there's
all they do is run all day long,
of course. I know, run and kick, yeah.
Jen, there's a grandpa at a retirement home who is in bad shape today because he's in trouble, right?
Yeah, this is a good one. He's not, he's only 64 years old. So he's one of the youngins at this particular retirement community. But he's been arrested by police on suspicion of cooking meth in his apartment there. Yeah, believe
awesome.
It. His name is Robert Short. He was pulled over by the cops in a routine traffic stop in Fresno over the weekend. During the stop, the officers learned that he was on supervised release for selling meth. Well, That was grounds to search his car. They found drugs in there. Then they went to his apartment, found more drugs, plus materials for a small meth lab. Maybe he was scaling back, you know, trying to, you know, coast into his golden years cautiously with just a little teeny tiny meth lab in his retirement village. The police say it was just shocking that someone that age would do that, but actually a perfect place. I mean, who would suspect it going on in the retirement home? And of course, all the neighbors were like, oh, yeah, we didn't know him very well, but he always said hello.
And how many references did those people make to Breaking Bad? Yeah, we watched that. And maybe he was just thinking, you know.
I know, right?
Our very own
Walter
Heisenberg,
White.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, here's something. You know the group Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
Dave Grohl and the bunch. There's a group of fans of that band in Richmond, Virginia. And they noticed that the band hadn't played in their area since 1998. So they went on a crowdfunding website to get people to toss in money to get Foo Fighters back in town. So in essence, they were putting up a fantasy tour date, a concert date, because Foo Fighters had no plan on coming to Richmond, at least on this time of the tour.
Well, so who would want to? But
the crowdfunding raised $70,000, that was their goal. They hit it over the weekend. And then Foo Fighters heard about it, and they've agreed to play a show.
That's cool.
In Richmond.
Oh, congratulations, Richmond.
So I wonder if they're going to take every penny that was raised.
Absolutely.
You think? They should, right? Why not? All right, we have more news for you. There's a pretty popular TV show, at least in my household. My wife and my daughters love watching TV all about the hoarders. You know, the ladies and the men are just, they save all their stuff, and there's always cats and dead cats and just stuff.
Disgusting.
Stacked to the ceiling. It's just an interesting psychological, sociological study. What happens to these people that they just can't let go? Anyway, Chris, you have a story about a hoarder.
I do, yes. And it's a hoarder who's come to an unfortunate end. A 66-year-old woman and known hoarder was found dead in her home over the weekend. She was actually buried under a pile of all the debris that she had collected in her house.
Oh, come on.
The first floor of her Connecticut home collapsed into the basement because of the massive amount of weight that all the clutter had created on the first floor. Yes, Beverly Mitchell of Cheshire was found after a postal carrier called for a welfare check because her mail was piling up at the door. Police, when they went in, they saw the stuff that was stacked up from the floor to the ceiling, waist high everywhere else. They didn't see her in there, so they just assumed that she was gone on vacation or something. Once they saw that the floor had collapsed, they actually cut a hole in the side of the building to make removal safe, started tearing stuff out with a backhoe, and she came out a couple of days after they started excavation.
Oh, yeah. Did they find any cats?
It didn't say anything about cats. It just spoke about Mitchell's, about her. But the neighbors, apparently police and neighbors, have been trying to get her to, you know, go on some social services for a while and get some help in her house. But she always refused. She's a real loner. So,
wow.
But that's when you go in and you remove that person from the house.
Right.
You say, look, you are unfit to live here.
They don't do it that way, though.
Well, we need to bring back the straitjackets, Phil. That's what I'm saying. Wrap them up, lock them up, and say, okay, look, we're going to clean your house. And then, because it probably took them, 50, 60 years to accumulate all that
right.
stuff?
Right, yeah, but it's their stuff.
Start from scratch.
Do you know what kind of separation anxiety with stuff there is for these people?
Well, now, look, a little bit of anxiety or dead, which would you rather have?
Well, I guess if they're looking at it that way, you're making total sense.
I do. I tend to do that, Phil.
But I still wonder about the cats. And maybe her cats were up in a tree, Jen. Up in a tree?
Yeah, up in a tree. Well, chances are, if your cat is up in a tree and can't climb down, you won't be able to either. This is just a little lesson that we learned over the weekend from a lady in northwestern Pennsylvania. Apparently, this lady tried to rescue a cat from a tree and ended up stuck up there herself and needed a rescue herself. Firefighters say that they brought a 28-foot ladder to help Tara Dennis get down from the branches. This happened yesterday. Residents said they'd heard the cat crying for the past couple of days, though. So after a while, you kind of think, man, I got to get this cat down out of there, right? But have you ever seen a dead cat in a tree?
No, they always figure out how to get down, don't they?
Right, exactly.
If they get hungry enough, they come down. I mean, my cat was stuck up a tree. He came home covered with sap, with, well, we were hoping it wasn't a torn ACL, but he had a leg problem. And
a torn ACL.
That's what the vet said. But what? I said, you know what? Let's just, you know, now he's fine. He brags to all his friends that he had a torn ACL.
Chris, if you got that, that would be a sports injury, right?
Yeah. I heard it turned out to be the cat's MCL, actually.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It stands for meow cat leg.
Meow cat leg or something. So the lady who climbed up the tree, scaled a fence, got on a roof, climbed onto a branch, got all the way up to the cat. Then she thought, hey, I know, I'll put the cat in my shirt and climb down.
It's never a good idea to put a cat in your shirt.
I can't even imagine what happened after that, but a neighbor ended up calling 911 and got the cat down the tree, and then they helped the 21-year-old lady get down the tree, too. So,
okay.
I mean, that's one way to get the fire department to come rescue the cat is to get up there yourself, and then you can't get down either.
Yeah, at the cost of how many taxpayer dollars this woman is? Ugh.
Yeah, they're on duty anyway.
Or you can get a dog. And it's hard to put a price tag on all the good stuff that dogs do for us, like keeping us company, giving us a reason to go on walks, protecting us by barking at everything.
Yes.
But we can put a price on all the bad stuff they do. According to a new study, the average dog does $392 worth of damage to stuff around the house every year, making them the most destructive pet you can own, unless you've got a water buffalo in your apartment or something. The second most destructive pet
is
a cat.
As a matter of fact, Phil, I do.
But they don't give a dollar figure on the cat destruction, and the pet that causes the least amount of destruction is a guinea pig. Although a fish has to be right up there too, I would think.
Sure.
Don't you think?
The 5-pound chihuahua the GF owns.
Yeah.
That little thing barks at everything, but she's actually pretty good.
Yes.
I love her. She's a little princess.
Hey, you know who Siri is, right? The voice in your iPhone? Siri has a cousin, or an uncle, or a brother-in-law. I'm not sure who he is, but he's real adept at selling pizza. We'll explain to you all about that next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're on Twitter at As We See It Show. Jennifer, Jay, Chris, and me, Phil, we're all here for you. Thank you for tuning in. Sometimes you just have to get a little extra help when you're ordering a pizza, and a real human being isn't going to do the trick. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it. That's the angle that Domino's is taking. Domino's has a new mobile app with a Siri-like feature. And customers may now be able to bypass human interaction completely, which...
Siri, like the thing on your iPhone, the female voice, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Only this one's going to be named Dom.
Oh, boy.
D-O-M.
Dom. Have you heard Dom yet? Have you tried to order a pizza through Dom?
I have not. I imagine
it's pizza tracker.
Pizza tracker? What does that do?
Yeah, the pizza tracker. You do it online. You don't talk to anybody. You just input it, like, you know.
Yeah, but how fun is that?
It's really fun.
But that's the whole thing. It's like for the perfect shut-in, all you do is you just go online and order pizza. You don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You just slip $20 underneath the door jamb and she'll leave the pizza there and then...
Yeah, and perfect. You get to see a little fake little cartoon person making your pizza and track it in real time.
I don't know. I think I'd order more pizza if instead of Dom, they had the voice of Scarlett Johansson.
There you go.
Well, like that movie?
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Jen brings up how much she enjoys ordering online because their online ordering is over 40% of their U.S. sales. So this is just them branching further into that. So you'd call up, and rather than hearing someone on the other end of the line, you'd hear Dom and say, I want a large pizza with garlic and onions and anchovies.
Yo, hey, thanks for calling Domino's. Right. What can I get for you, huh?
And then it recognizes what you say.
Okay,
and
we like
your
the
order.
Pepperoni. All right. Yeah, you want extra cheese
call
on
it right
that?
Now.
Jay, you missed your calling, man.
Yeah.
That was great.
Be the voice of Dom? or is it kind of like...
You're already the voice of Doom.
Is it kind of like the Godfather, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What can I get you?
I like that.
Well, you know what they have next, don't you?
What's that?
The Domicopter, which is delivery of pizza by drone.
Oh, Domicopter. I like that. Whatever happened to the Noid? I was always a fan of the Noid.
Noid.
You're the only one.
Avoid the Noid? That was great. That was a great marketing gimmick.
People hated the Noid.
That's why he's gone.
Weird-looking creature. He had, like, these socks for ears. And
Yeah, he was, like, a cartoon character. Yeah. Sorry, Jen. You were like, 50 when it came out, so don't worry about
it. You were giving us, Jay, a real sense of Italy there a little bit. And if we go a little to the outskirts of Rome, we find a little place called the Holy See, where the Vatican resides. And there's big Pope news, Jay.
I know, big Pope news, and we don't normally get big Pope news.
No, but this is earth-shaking.
This is like breaking down barrier Pope news. So the Pope he wants to be a man of the people. He loves shaking hands, he loves kissing babies, he loves, giving people hugs. And he's a fan of the selfie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He loves doing that. So he has made an announcement that he will no longer use the Pope-mobile. That's that bulletproof little bubble that the Pope is always touted around in.
Well, there's a purpose for that.
There is. And it's because the Pope is definitely a hated figure among certain groups and certain people. So actually, there was a 1981 assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II. And so that's when the Pope-mobile started in 81. So now he's like, nope. I'm good. And he told a Spanish newspaper, he says, you got to respect this. He goes, look, at my age, I got nothing to lose. So I'm just going to walk around and be a man of the people. And if something happens, it's in God's
hands. There you go. He's a man of the people.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I do too, Jen. You're absolutely right.
Man of the people, man of faith. And he's a man of the world. There's another man of the world. In fact, he's the head of the world body known as the United Nations, the Secretary General. Ban Ki-moon celebrated a birthday, Jennifer.
He sure did. He turned 70 on Friday. And guess what he got from the president of Bolivia? It was something really, really regional, I should say.
One of those hats?
No. Evo Morales presented him with a cake made with coca leaves.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The UN chief was in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, for a meeting this weekend of the G77 group of countries to discuss measures for reducing poverty. Now, coca, you know, it's used to make cocaine, but the host, Morales, a former coca farmer, has long defended its legal use as an ancestral right. For tea, sweets, and medicines, going so far as to pull coca leaves out of a small plastic bag during a UN anti-drug meeting in Vienna in 2012. Remember that? He chewed a wad of them. People weren't happy with that.
No.
But, you know, people in the Andes, they chew on coca leaves as a source of energy, kind of like coffee up around there, those parts.
Kind of like an energy drink here?
Kind of like it, yeah. All so right. Morales told Ban on Friday in front of hundreds gathered for the presentation of the cake, the Bolivian people will never forget your visit.
Oh, and neither will he.
Exactly. But Ban Ki-moon did not take a bite. He said thank you. He was very gracious, blew out the candles, but didn't taste it in front of the cameras.
All right. Now, I don't know what this guy was chewing, but follow me with this story. You remember that scene from the movie Teen Wolf when Michael J. Fox surfs on top of a delivery truck?
Absolutely.
I love that
movie. Yeah, of course.
Here's a reminder that you are not a werewolf. And you don't have superhuman balancing abilities.
What?
Last week, a 27-year-old guy from Taos, New Mexico, he was hanging out with a woman who looks to be in her late 20s. Doesn't matter the age, though, however. The fact that the story exists is why we're talking about it. And for fun, they decided to drive the woman's truck down the highway while the man stood on top of the truck naked.
All right.
Now, it's not clear if drugs or alcohol or coca leaf cakes were involved, but at some point, he lost his balance and fell, landed in the middle of the road. Luckily for him, it doesn't look like he was seriously hurt, but a guy on a motorcycle had to hit the brakes to avoid him. He got rear-ended by another driver and was seriously injured. Meanwhile, the girlfriend helped the man back into the truck. They took off, so it was like a cause an accident and run. But police caught up to them about 2 miles down the road.
Did the guy put his clothes on by then?
Well, he's wearing a completely different ensemble now.
Oh.
Were they videotaping it? Is that Were they trying to record this and put it on YouTube?
They were just
where these stunts start.
Just having some fun because she was behind the wheel and he was on the roof.
I'm guessing there's some sort of drug involved at some point.
I gotta believe there was something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but there was something there. And one more story from you, Jay, if you don't mind. This has to do with a flight on a JetBlue jet. It seems a lot of stories come from JetBlue.
Yeah, they're either in the news because they're doing something cool for you, like a massage chair, or making a three-year-old urinate in her seat.
Yeesh.
Mom claims that she was on a flight from New York to Boston, and there was a 30-minute delay, right? And that happens all the time. You're on the tarmac, and the captain comes on, well, we've got a little bit of a problem. Please remain in your seats, blah, 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 blah. So the little girl says, Mom, I got to go to the bathroom. Mom says, okay, well, let's go. She went to go stand up. Stewardess came over and says, no, sit back down. You have to sit back down. Safety concern, blah, blah, blah. Well, the little girl starts squirming. Mom, I really got to go.
Uh-oh.
Mom stands back up. Here comes flight attendant again and says, no, sit back down. The little girl had to go in her seat and then just had to sit there until the plane could start moving. And then when the flight attendant deemed that it was safe for her to get up, then they could go to the restroom. But it was unfortunate, so she's taking it up with JetBlue. JetBlue actually sent out a tweet in response to somebody on the plane who was like, hey, JetBlue, this is what you guys do, make a little girl go to the bathroom in her seat. And they said, we understand your concern. However, there are very strict FAA regulations when a plane is on the tarmac.
Yeah, it's not us. Whoa. It's the feds.
Yeah, yeah. They offered.
Well, you know, they did call that lady and apologize.
I was just about to say
that.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. They called her. They apologized. They gave her a $50 credit to their next JetBlue flight.
Right.
And a $5,000 donation to a charity of her choice.
That'll buy the little girl a new pair of jeans.
Basically, right.
Yeah. Hey, we haven't had any guests on the program yet. What do you say we change that in our next segment? The odds are pretty good these days that you're going to get cancer. I think we just kind of all figure that we're more than likely going to get something.
Man, that is a bright and shiny statement.
There's just no avoiding it.
Really?
Or is there? We'll explore how the answers to beating cancer could be right there in your DNA. You just need somebody to read it for you, and that somebody very well might be our next guest, and you'll hear from him here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. I want to direct you to our website, philhewlettandfriends.com. There are new features there, which we will elaborate on in moments. But this segment, we're talking about cancer. We're talking about beating cancer. Are you doomed to get it? The answer could be in your DNA, but we have a topical story to lead into this, and a beloved sports figure has lost his battle with this dreaded disease. Chris, just a quick update on this, will you please?
Yeah, I was reading this morning that longtime Oakland Athletic Tony Gwynn died. He actually died of salivary gland cancer at 54, which is so young. And he contracted it from chewing tobacco. And I noticed you don't really hear about the dangers of that as often as you do smoking or some of the other things.
Yeah, you're right. You don't hear it that often. But how about you? You play a little baseball. Did you chew the tobacco for a while?
Yeah, I did when I was younger, and that's why I was hoping that the good doctor could help give us some words to scare the life out of us, and hopefully I'd never try it again.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. Well, stay off of that stuff because you'll increase your chances, but we're trying to decrease your chances of getting it now through your DNA because that's where your destiny is. And Dr. Stephen Shrewsbury joins us live now. He's the author of the book, How the New Gene Patch Personalized Medicines Will Help You Overcome Your Greatest Health Challenges. It's a long title for a book, but just the same, you could find it in the new store at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's a link directly to it, so you could purchase it. Dr. Shrewsbury, thank you very much. How likely is it, by the way, for each of us to get some sort of cancer in our lifetime?
Well, there are a lot of different cancers, so it varies from cancer to cancer. And, of course, there are things that some people do that increase their risk, as you've just rightly mentioned, smoking, or in the case of that baseball star, chewing tobacco. That's obviously a big risk factor. And then there are some things that people do that can reduce their risk. One thing they've not been able to do in the past, necessarily, is to identify the genetic factors that predispose people. But we are getting much smarter now at actually being able to identify those in our genes. And in some cases, there are new drugs, new medicines being developed that will actually affect the chances of those programming faults, if you like, from programming us to get cancer in the future.
Yeah, let's take this a step by step here if we can, because this whole DNA process. We were learning so much about this, and just as laymen, it boggles our mind how quickly this science is marching forward. So at this point, can any individual walk into the right hospital room and a doctor can do a blood test and then pull up a chart and say, okay, here's this, you're predisposed to this, and then can they connect the dots and say, all right, now we can treat it this way? Are we at that point already?
Well, you're right. The pace of advance is really mind-boggling, isn't it? And yes, to a certain extent, we can do that now. The best people to talk to are geneticists, clinical geneticists, and they do have the ability to detect cancer genes. And as I mentioned, many genes are being identified almost on a daily basis. So, yes, you can ask your geneticist to give you a risk factor for a particular cancer, particularly if it runs in your family. Not all doctors know about that. So it's probably a good idea to try and identify a geneticist. And best start is to talk to your family doctor and hopefully they can point you in the right direction.
What is the gene patch?
Well, it's a new type of medicine, and the patch is actually it's a molecule. It's a drug that comes in an injection at the moment. Maybe one day they'll come as a pill or a tablet, but they're injected in, and they patch the message, the molecular message that comes from our DNA to the rest of the cell and either programs the cell to not make a vital protein or programs the cell to make a bad protein. Now, in the case of the former, if you are missing a protein, never before in our history of humankind have we been able to do anything about that. We're stuck with missing that protein. But now we have harnessed a natural mechanism that can fool the machinery into making a missing protein. So that's what inspired me to write this book. In other cases, we can actually block a bad message. But that's very similar to traditional drugs that actually block messengers within the bloodstream as they hit receptors at diseased organs.
So you're talking about stopping it before we get it.
Exactly. And that, combined with our ability now to detect these genes that are predisposing factors for some diseases, and in other cases, with rare diseases, there's often a single faulty gene that actually guarantees that the person will get a rare disease. We can actually now combine those two, detecting the gene and correcting the message. And together, we can actually make a real impact at last on a lot of many human diseases that previously weren't treatable.
All right, on the subject of how fast the science is moving, what do you see coming down the pike as far as gene therapy is concerned?
Well, we've been trying to tackle gene therapy for a number of years, and in principle, we understand what needs to happen, but the actual application of that science has proven very tricky. And I think these gene patches are a sort of a halfway house, if you like. They're not altering our genes, but they are altering the message that comes from from our genes. So I think these are really exciting for people with rare disease. And 1 in 10 Americans has a rare disease. Often they don't even know about it. But you look around you in the office or in your homes or in your schools, 1 in 10 Americans has a rare disease. And many of these people have had no treatment available to them before now. So that's a really exciting change. And then there are many other things that are coming along, and I talk about them in my book, Defy Your DNA, to give it its shorter title, and such as remote surgery, robotic surgery. I mean, that's here and now, such as the ability to screen for these diseases without taking a blood sample. We can actually do it in a little swab at the inside of your cheek. You know, they're just those two things are amazing in themselves. Another amazing development is growing replacement organs, which we are now doing in the laboratory.
That's cool. Now, Doc, all of these things sound great, and, you know, it's going to be great for the human race and blah, 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 but they sound really expensive.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, how do we address that?
That is a really excellent topic for a huge debate and discussion. And I don't know the answers to that, and I haven't got the answers to that. But you're right. A lot of these new therapies are expensive. But flat-screen TVs were expensive when they first came out. And
right.
Of course,
cancer TVs, we're all talking about the same thing.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Stephen Shrewsbury, thank you. You've opened our eyes a lot, and we expect to to learn a great deal more when we read your book, Defy Your DNA. And it's available for purchase in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. We thank you for spending some time with us, and good luck with your continued research in this area.
Thank you very much.
And again, see, just trying to help out wherever we can.
I know it's not a political show, but I wonder if robotic surgery is covered under Obamacare.
Robotic surgery?
I don't know. Is it?
Or genetic surgery?
Either one.
Either one? Okay.
Just saying.
Just saying? Somebody said something today that I think you need to hear and see. We're not going to play it here, but we just posted it on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Yeah, good guy.
Drops an F-bomb on live television during the King's Stanley Cup parade.
And like, on purpose.
Oh, he did? On purpose?
On purpose. Yes, he said he was breaking the rules of politics, and he was holding up a beer, and he says, you're never supposed to swear, and you're never supposed to be photographed with a drink in your hand, but this is a great day.
Wow.
Oh, he got roaring applause.
Look at that. Good for him. Now, that's the kind of guy we need in the White House. That's what I'm talking about.
Luke Robitaille gets up and says, yeah, and we tell our players not to cuss.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Right. Hey, we love your comments. Keep the F-bombs to yourself. Our email address is feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. As We See It Show is our Twitter. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our song composed, performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, Visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553.